Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're continuing our conversation on Christian ethics in the workplace. We'll go right to the phones here in just a moment, taking your phone calls at 1-800-730-2727 or your email at issuesetc@kfuo.org. And we will let you stay on the line to hear the response to your question or your comment when you call in as we talk about Christian ethics in the workplace. Now, this is not something that only affects the guy who wears the business suit and works in high finance. We tend to think of that's where the real ethical dilemmas arise. I was between the hours here talking with our guests here in Studio A about a situation I had when I was working in high school. I was being paid out of the till by my employer. I didn't know at the time, at least for a while, why he was paying me in cash. My mom finally informed me, well, you know, he's doing that so he doesn't have to report you or pay taxes on you. Now, at the time, I didn't know what to do, and I probably wouldn't have done anything about it anyway. I wanted to keep the job, and he would have let me go. But I wonder what I would do now if an employer didn't want to report me, paid me cash out of the till, or was doing something of that kind. And here I am as a Christian in an ethical dilemma. We meet them in every walk of life and in every business place, no matter what it is. Maybe you have as well. Feel free to give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, or our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. By the way, the best callers and emailers during this hour will receive our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. We have its three co-authors with us here in a roundtable during this hour. Raymond Hilgert is Professor Emeritus of the Olin School of Business at Washington University here in St. Louis. Raymond, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Nice to be here.
Jim Truesdell joins us from Milwaukee. He's president of Brouwer Supply Company based in St. Louis, and he's also president of the North American Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Wholesalers Association. Jim Truesdell, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be here this hour.
And also joining us here in Studio A, Pastor Phil Lacus. He formerly served as the editor for Portals of Prayer and as director of the Commission on Organizations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Lacus, welcome back.
Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure.
These are the three co-authors of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. That's also the subject of our conversation. Let's go straight to the phones and talk first with Dan, who's calling from Santa Rosa, California. Dan, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, hello, sir. I am blind, and recently most of my experience has been in working with the technology training business, but I recently had the opportunity to work in maintaining a house and made about $200 doing that. I simply find that capitalism is a rather loosely used term, and it's rather flung around by those who criticize capitalism.
And so what is your basic point?
I would like to simply get your response to the idea that capitalism is a poorly defined term in many cases with critics.
That's a good question, Dan. Let's start with you, Ray, if we could. We talked about capitalism in the last hour, and we basically came to the consensus here, based upon the guidance of Pastor Lacus, that God is neither a capitalist nor a non-capitalist, but capitalism does seem to be ingrained in the way people do business. How should it be defined, rather than someone simply saying, hey, I'm a capitalist, that means every man for himself?
Yeah, I think capitalism often is kind of lumped as being very, very big, where the major industries are controlled by large-scale corporations. The truth of it is that most of our businesses are relatively small, and really the capitalistic system is one of private ownership of the means of production, service, and the like, and competition in the marketplace being the kind of the thing that makes the whole thing work. And I think capitalism has sort of gotten a bad name because it's so often confused with, bigness. But most of our so-called capitalists are rather small owners, small shopkeepers and the like, who risk their own private assets to compete in the marketplace.
Jim Truesdell, your reaction to the caller's contention that capitalism is often ill-defined?
Well, I I think he's correct when he says that sometimes capitalism gets a bad rap from people who don't fully define it or don't fully understand it. And capitalism, by its very nature, I think, is consistent with freedom, the ability of people to do what they can do with their talents and abilities. And consistent with that freedom generally comes the freedom to worship our God, as opposed to some of the socialist systems, the communist systems we've had, that part of that whole system seemed to be a doing away with the freedom to worship God and having God as part of society. Capitalism allows people to use their talents to their fullest extent and to express their thoughts and their feelings. Where we have to watch it, of course, is people who will misuse capitalism and use it to abuse other people and to put other people down, where it's carried to its extremes. But short of that, capitalism is consistent with freedom, which is consistent with the exercise of our religious beliefs.
Pastor Lacus, I wonder, before we go back to the phones, whether or not, you know, there has been a benefit. One could probably look at history and say there's a benefit of people being able to exercise freedom economically. And one of the benefits to the church has been that the gospel has been given free course. Technology has advanced the voice of the gospel and the scope of its preaching. Is that one of the benefits that God brings about for the church through something like capitalism?
God brings about his benefits under any system. I believe he blesses the continual spread of his word. And while capitalism may be more friendly, it can also, as we are seeing of late, become more unfriendly toward the Word of God.
Something to keep in mind, folks. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to Sue. She's calling from St. Louis. Sue, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I heard a noise. I didn't know if I got disconnected. I work for a medical agency, which agency, like Kelly Services, for our business, only this is medical. We staff hospitals and nursing homes. And when the office is open, I'm off. And when the office is closed, I'm on call. So I work nights, weekends, holidays. And I work a minimum of 76 hours a week, but it can be all the way up to 140 I've worked. And they consider me part-time. Of course, they pay for my, you know, telephone expense and business supplies, paper, whiteout, et cetera, and provide a fax machine. But I wonder, because of the hours that I work, and it's not on call like the fire department where you might get a fire, you might not. The phones ring a lot, and we do two-hour confirmations before every shift and fill 24/7. So I work full-time, but they consider me part-time, and my only benefits are the fact that I get to work from home and that I have 401k.
Sue, thank you for the call. Now, this is a situation, Ray, I'd like you to address that. 76 hours a week, it sounds like she works in radio, for heaven's sake. But then up above 100 hours a week, and still she's called part-time. Is this wrong?
Well, I don't know the exact particulars of her situation and what is going into that 76 hours. I think what I would recommend what she should do if she hasn't gotten any resolution from her employer, is to seek help from the Wage and Hour Division of the Department of Labor. They get hundreds of cases of this sort of thing, and the Wage and Hour Division will investigate and see whether or not there is a violation of law. The law is very, very clear about time and a half being required for all hours over 40 in a statutory work week. But this takes many avenues, and when people are on call, they are normally not considered, the same as if they are on the clock. So that's what I would recommend she do to get a clear reading of what her rights are.
Sue, I'd like you to stay on hold if you would, and we'd like to send you an absolutely free copy of Our Issues, Etc., book of the month for June called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. And thank you for the call, Sue. Jim Truesdell, your reaction as an employer to the situation that Sue finds herself in.
Well, I think it raises an interesting question about the duty that employers do have to treat their workers fairly. There are many, many Christian people who out there who have the position of employer or manager. And some of these people are in the situation we talked about where they compartmentalize their lives. They live one set of beliefs on Sunday or with their family, but when they get to the workplace, they're watching that bottom line, and they want to divorce themselves from combining their Christian principles with their work lives. I think it's important that we remember that if we are fortunate to be in a position as an employer, that we have a responsibility to look out for the interests of the people who work for us, to treat them fairly, just as the worker has a responsibility to give a fair day's pay for his wages. The management's job does not just stop at turning that bottom line profit. We are stewards of the work lives of the people who work for us, and we need to take those lives into consideration when we make business decisions, not just the bottom line.
That's Jim Truesdell. He joins us from Milwaukee as part of our roundtable. We're talking about Christian ethics in the workplace. Pastor Phil Lockes is also our guest, and Raymond Hilgert. Together, they have co-authored our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. Stay on the line, folks, who are still holding on. When we come back from this break, we'll go right back to the phones and take your questions and your comments for our roundtable. You know, Scripture says, God says himself, that he hates unbalanced scales. He cannot stand them. God actually pays attention to whether or not books balance, whether or not the figures all line up in columns, and whether or not the scales come out even. God seems to be very careful and to take great care about how we conduct ourselves in business. Perhaps it says something about who we are. If we are businesses crooked, maybe it just goes to show that we are the sinners God says we are and in need of the Savior he has provided in Jesus Christ.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
All right, Issues Etc. junkies, here's something just for you. It's a confessional Christian worldview seminar, June the 20th through the 27th at the Schwann Center in northern Wisconsin. We'll be there broadcasting live along with Issues Etc. regular guests Rolf Preuss, Angus Manoos, George Mather, and Craig Parton. Here are some of the topics that they'll be discussing at this seminar: Islam, Catholicism Today, Postmodernism and Hypersecularism, Theological Liberalism, Defending the Biblical Worldview, and more. Now, $229 covers the seminar, lodging, and meals for a week. Call the Schwann Center today at 1-800-577-4848 and ask for information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar June 20th through the 27th in Trago, Wisconsin. 1-800-577-4848 or find information at our website, issuesetc.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Islam with Ron Rhodes of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. Do Christians and Muslims worship the same God? Some people say yes, some people say no. Some people would like to just kind of float there in between and say, well, who knows? We'll find out from Ron Rhodes whether or not it is the same God. What are the similarities and the differences between the two great holy books of these two great world religions, the Bible and the Quran? And do you know the difference between a Shiite Muslim and a Sunni Muslim? There are differences, big differences. We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Ron Rhodes. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of June on the program, check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to read an article written by one of our guests in this hour, Jim Truesdell. It's titled Right and Wrong in the Workplace. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, if you have a question or a comment on Christian ethics in the workplace, call us now, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go back to the phones. Rebecca is waiting very patiently in Bolivar, Missouri. Rebecca, welcome to Issues Etc. Rebecca, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much.
What's your question or comment?
Well, I'm a public school teacher in elementary, and I often have opportunities to share my faith, which at times I feel fine about doing because, I mean, I always like being able to do that. but there are times that I feel it is an okay thing, and then there are times, I guess, because of the separation of church and state, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I know that's the way it is, that I think, well, possibly I might be taking advantage of my position. So I guess I just wanted your opinion on that.
All right, thank you very much. Let's start with you. Let's start with Pastor Lacus there in comment to her question, being taken advantage of in her position.
Well, in the first place, she has agreed. I take this, did she say a public school?
I think that's what she said, yes.
Yeah, she has agreed to the terms of her employment. And that would require at times that she observe the separation between church and state. It would have nothing to do with her Christian example or her Christian witness when the door is opened by a question being asked. So, I'm not sure just what the problem is here.
So if a question is asked of her, should she feel any compunction in offering a Christian witness, even if it's in the context of a public school, as a public school teacher?
I would say no, that the question has been fairly asked. It should be fairly answered.
Ray, in the workplace, would it be considered bad business form for a Christian employee to, if given the opportunity, make an explicit witness of his faith to his fellow employees or his employer, or is that considered out of bounds in the business world today?
Well, it certainly would depend on the employer. I think most employers would prefer that any direct type of witnessing be done in break periods where there would be no direct interference with the work itself. I think a Christian gives the best witness by his or her behavior on the job, which is always of a high standard, meets all of the, you know, the requirements, and doesn't take any shortcuts and the like, so that the people around that employee know that this is somebody who is indeed a Christian and is trying to live that way. And then if questions and discussions come up, especially during breaks, lunch periods, and the like, that's where I think the direct witnessing can be very, very helpful.
Jim Truesdell, do you have something to add to that little scenario?
Well, I think, again, the best thing you can do is to make a bold witness of your faith by your actions, by the way you treat other people, by the decisions you make, by the stands that you make on matters of principle. And then if somebody takes note of that or reflects on that, you can very subtly say, well, I try to be consistent with my beliefs. I have Christian beliefs, and I try to be consistent with that. Simply and flatly, therefore, you're not imposing that witness upon people. You're not waving out in front of people. But your actions lead people to recognize that there's something different about what you're doing. And then when that's recognized, you subtly give credit to the fact that you are living the beliefs that you believe because of your membership in the Christian church.
Deborah is calling from Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin. Deborah, thank you for being patient and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. I'm calling about that guy that called in, Jim, in the healthcare field that was fired.
Yes.
I was in a similar situation what he was just about a year and a half ago. I got hired by some, and these were Christians that hired me, as they call themselves Christians, in a CVRF home. They had elderly and they had developmentally handicapped people. Their handicapped people, they were very, very nasty to, mean, just unreal. I worked it for about a good year and a half, only because I had made an agreement, you know, that I'd work so long, otherwise I'd have to pay back some of the training I got. And when I started realizing that, hey, you know what, I can get in some major trouble if I don't turn them in, I did some checking, and I turned my employer in. And what I learned in doing the checking, which he was very smart, I learned that if you sit there and say nothing and continue to work under those circumstances, and if these people are investigated, you're just as guilty as they are, and they'll fine you too. I could have lost my license to deal with elderly, you know, to deal in those homes like that because of keeping my mouth shut.
Deborah, thank you very much for the call. Jim Truesdell, we had a caller from the earlier hour who had a similar situation. Is it true that you can actually become liable for the wrongdoing of your employer if you do nothing?
I know that there are some very aggressive laws in place in many jurisdictions that serve to protect the defenseless and the helpless. When there are caregivers and professionals in some of these areas who become aware of abusive situations or whatever, yes, there can be an affirmative duty on the part of those caregivers or professionals to bring these situations to light. And these laws exist, I think, to protect the people in those helpless situations. I think that one of the important points that this caller made, she said these employers in this situation purported to be Christians. I think this drives home the fact that those of us who hold ourselves out to be Christians had best be very, very careful about our actions in the workplace, because people will look to us as an example of how a Christian behaves. And if we're going to state that we are believers, we'd best be consistent in our actions, or it's going to be very glaring, and other people may judge other Christians or the Christian faith by our lack of diligence in adhering to our beliefs. So I think two things. Yes, those kind of laws and regulations do exist. They're there for a good reason, and they should serve as an encouragement to people who see this kind of abuse existing to indeed come forward and bring these situations to light.
Raymond, we've only got about a minute before the break. He mentioned that these rules exist for the purpose of serving the public. And does that mean that the Christian who observes something like this being done and says, look, I don't want to be guilty either, can act in with a clear conscience if they're going to say, look, I'm just going to turn my employer in?
Absolutely. And one of the things that Jim said, that many situations there is indeed an affirmative obligation on the part of the employee to report something that is wrong. And if you do not report it, or in some way try to do something to reconcile what's going on, you can be held to be just as guilty as the person who is perpetrating the fraud. And I think that is a way of taking a stand and showing that your principles do prevail.
We're talking about Christian ethics in the workplace. When we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls on that subject. Raymond Hilgert is our guest, Professor Emeritus of the Olin School of Business at Washington University here in St. Louis. Jim Truesdell, joining us by telephone from Milwaukee, is president of Brouwer Supply Company based in St. Louis, and also president of the North American Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Wholesalers Association, and Pastor Phil Lacus. He is formerly the editor of Portals of Prayer and director of the Commission on Organizations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. These three men form our roundtable and are co-authors of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace. Some of the most common ethical dilemmas that confront Christians today are found in the workplace. Do we operate by one set of ethics as Christians and another set in the business world? As you face workplace problems, where do you go to look for guidance? Answers to these questions and more are found in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace, by Raymond Hilgert, Phil Lacus, and James Truesdell. You can order Christian Ethics in the Workplace by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or order the book online at issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section and you'll find information on this book. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace, 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Todd Wilkin. We're joined by Craig Parton. Craig will be one of the speakers at a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar coming up on June 20th through the 27th at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. Craig, tell us about your lecture entitled Defending the Biblical Worldview.
Sure, Todd. This particular seminar looks at apologetics and why Lutherans and all Christians ought to be involved in the apologetical task. The various things that we'll be looking at during the time of the seminar will be defending the defense of the faith. In other words, an apologetic for apologetics. What is apologetics? Why do we need to be about it? What is about the contemporary situation that demands that we give a defense for the reason, for the hope that is within us? We look at the three centuries of secularism and why so many Christians are not involved in the defense of the faith and why that has been historically, and why the contemporary situation cries out for Christians to be able to give a reason for the hope that is within them, and what those evidences actually are. We'll actually go through the historical legal evidences. As a trial lawyer, I'm going to present why lawyers have been historically attracted to the Christian faith. What is it about the evidences that have attracted lawyers and how to use those evidences effectively with the non-Christian? We'll look at non-Christian viewpoints. We'll also look at Lutherans and the defense of the faith, why they historically have not been involved in apologetics, but why they have such a solid theology that should allow them to be in the forefront of the apologetical task.
That's Craig Parton, one of our speakers at a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 20th through the 27th at the beautiful Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin, about 2 hours from Minneapolis. Now, for more information, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848. That's 1-800-577-4848, or go to our website at issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 20th through the 27th in Trago, Wisconsin. Again, that number, 1-800-577-4848. The cost of the seminar is $229 for 19 meals and 7 nights lodging. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and you'll find information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June 20th through the 27th in Trago, Wisconsin, or call 1-800-577-4848. 1-800-577-4848. During the second hour of our conversation on Christian ethics in the workplace, we continue to talk with the co-authors of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. This is a great Father's Day gift. I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. My dad, he got up at 6:30 every morning, went off to the office, and he loved his work. He still does love his work. He's way past retirement, and he's still in there doing his work. I have never thought to ask him. Maybe I will on Father's Day. Dad, you have some trouble with ethics in the workplace after working 30 years in one place? I imagine that he has, and maybe I should give him our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. Just about time for him to retire when it won't do him much good. You can receive your copy of Christian Ethics in the Workplace by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. That number is 1-800-325-3040. The cost of the book is only $14.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. You can also order the book online tonight. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on this book. Now, when you call or write, be sure to ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace. The number again, 1-800-325-3040. Let's go back to the phones. Randy is calling from Chillicothe, Missouri. Randy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, I work for a glove company, a pretty good sized one here in the U.S., and they have a habit once in a while of, like, for Walmart, they don't take Vietnam gloves, and they'll substitute Vietnam gloves, have us cut out the old tag with the country in it, and take off the old tags, and restick them and retag them to where they're reflecting, like, China or something, and they'll even... You know, they usually, when they're out of a size of glove or something, or a style, they'll even re-sticker to where, you know, they'll substitute a different style for it. And, you know, I think that's a little unethical, and I was wondering, you know, what my options are, you know, to take care of this.
Thank you very much, Randy. Ray, would you address his concerns here? This sounds as though it's kind of a systematized way of being dishonest with the retailers a wholesaler being dishonest with his customers.
Yes, and again, I think the first thing he's got to do is to get some clarification as to what is going on. Certainly talking to his supervisor or somebody in the production area. If he doesn't get any satisfaction there, then I think he might well talk to somebody in higher management. If that is not satisfactory, then I think they might approach the corporate attorney or somebody who would be in a position to determine what the legality or illegality might be. And again, there's always risks in doing it, but it sounds to me like it's a questionable practice. There may be some explanation that would justify it, but from what I can gather, it seems to me to be either unethical or illegal.
Jim, no one wants to be called or be thought of as a whistleblower, but sometimes situations like this would call for someone to do that very thing. How would you counsel Randy?
Well, first thing, oftentimes it's very, very difficult in a company where there is a culture of doing whatever is necessary to maximize profit, and there's a temptation that management and all the senior employees can follow in line with the idea, do whatever is necessary, even if it crosses the line of right or wrong. So somewhere, somebody within that management has got to feel the support of the other workers who are aware of what's going on, somebody who has the courage to raise the question and challenge what's going on. Hey, is this really what we want to be doing? Is this really what our company stands for? And other people who recognize this need to step forward and say, you know, that bothers me too, to help change the culture in that workplace. Now, that doesn't address the specific situation this fellow has here, because we're talking about preventative statements that people will make to turn a company's culture around. When this is going on, I think Ray's correct. Maybe there's some explanation he's unaware of. But if he comes to a company official with the company interest in mind, saying, you know, I'm concerned about the impact this might have on our company. You know, what we're doing here, I think, could be getting the company in great difficulty if it's misrepresentation. In other words, without immediately pointing the finger and saying somebody here is a crook, you can say, this could be causing great harm to the company, and start to raise the question so that somebody could then respond. Maybe somebody's looking for somebody to really call their attention to this and would then say, oh, well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. There are a lot of people who, when confronted with the reality of what they're doing, will change it. They just need to have somebody to draw the line and say, look, I see this, it's going on, and then sometimes they'll take the actions that they need to bring it to an end.
Randy, I'd like you to stay on hold, if you would, so we can send you a free copy of Christian Ethics in the Workplace as well. For the rest of you, our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, for questions and comments as we talk about Christian Ethics in the Workplace, or our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to some of that email now. A listener asks the following question. I am a human resource manager at a Christian organization, and I am, sadly, all too often amazed at the character of the folks who apply to work even for us. One of the things that really galls me is to receive a letter of resignation that is peppered with quote-unquote Christian talk and comments about Jesus leading them elsewhere, only they are leaving us in the middle of a project they are responsible for with less than 2 weeks' notice, etc. It almost seems blasphemous. It is so transparent, he writes. They found a new job that offers more money. Okay, just say that is what I would like to say. Don't lie or blame it on Christ. Pastor Lacus, well, you've certainly seen letters like this before.
Yeah,
well,
we're back to that old thing again of we're people who like to make excuses. We say, for example, I wouldn't have had so much to drink if my plane would have been on time. Or I wouldn't have lied if my boss hadn't always insisted on me having my reports in at a certain time. And things like that. And this is just making excuses, and it is sinful. So even when they use a Christian mask, it's sinful.
So if the Christian says, look, I found a job that pays me more money, and I know I'm leaving you guys in the lurch, and I'm sorry for that, That would at least be honest,
yeah,
rather than saying
it.
Jesus is leading me to go
right,
someplace.
Right.
There's a second part to this question, by the way, and here it is. He writes, I've lost count of the times when someone who was a low performer, who had already been counseled repeatedly, would turn around and haul out the how can you say this is a Christian organization comment. Along with some of these Christians, it seems that the idea, honest, open, and fair dealing, only applies to what the company can do for them. It's a one-way street. This brings up the whole question of a Christian organization, and Jim raised this before. If a Christian is going to be in the business place, he ought to take care for how he does his business. How would you respond to that? Well, is this a Christian organization? Why do you keep calling him in the office?
I would like a definition of a Christian organization. I'm not sure what is meant there. Does that mean that the management speaks in Christian terms? Or is it one that has Christian functions? I'm not sure what's meant.
I want to ask you, Ray, if you as an employer were to have to reprimand an employee, and he were to say to you, well, I thought you were a Christian. What are you doing reprimanding me? How would you respond?
Well, I think an employer, Christian or otherwise, has a right to expect performance from his employees commensurate with what is being paid. And if an employee is not measuring up, then I think the employer is certainly within his rights to talk to the employee about it, set the objectives, the standards that are expected, and then follow it up. And I think that is certainly Christian. There's nothing unchristian about that. And if the employee then does not meet the standard after having been counseled and perhaps warned about it, it seems to me that the employer is well within his right to take whatever action is necessary. I don't think there's any confusion about being a Christian or not being a Christian in that situation.
Jim?
Yeah, I think that Christian business leaders are going to have to make tough decisions frequently. From time to time, they're going to have to do that. But the question is, what's in their heart? Are they doing it because they believe it, one, to be in the best interest of the business, two, to be a fair action with respect to the employee, as opposed to some people in the business world who really get off on exercising power over the people, who enjoy putting other people down, who literally get a rush from this power that they wield over other people. If that's absent, if your motivation is for the good of the business and honest, direct communication to the employee whose performance is slipping below standards, there's nothing wrong and inconsistent with that. It goes to what's in your heart. And if the Christian can be comfortable with what's in their heart and in the motivation behind what they're doing, then I think they're being consistent with their principles.
Another listener raises this question. We'll have time for a brief answer before our break. I am a manager of a mid-sized company. I report to the owner, and I am responsible for several supervisors and ultimately for their departments. I understand that in this Christian vocation, I am responsible for serving both the owner, employer, and those who directly report to me. The ethics of the owner are often at odds with my own Christian ethics, particularly in the area of employment practices and specifically with termination directives. In these circumstances, how can I serve both my employer and those for whom I am responsible? Do I fulfill my Christian responsibility to serve those in authority over me, or do I compromise my Christian ethics in the process of carrying out these directives, Ray?
Well, just because one disagrees with an employer, I think, doesn't necessarily mean whether it's ethical or unethical. There may be reasons that the employer wishes to terminate somebody that are legitimate, and even though the individual here disagrees with it, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem. But if the termination appears to be grossly unfair, appears to be a violation of law, let's say a discrimination question, then I think this individual has a very strong duty to talk that over with his boss and get clarification and see if he can't get that thing reversed.
Raymond Hilgert is Professor Emeritus in the Olin School of Business at Washington University here in St. Louis. Also here in Studio A, Pastor Phil Lacus, formerly the editor of Portals of Prayer and the director of the Commission on Organizations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and joining us from Milwaukee, president of Brouwer Supply Company based here in St. Louis, Jim Truesdell. He's also president of the North American Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Wholesalers Association. Together, these men have co-authored our Issues, Etc. book of the month for June called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. When we come back, we'll not only talk about the dishonest employer, but what about the dishonest employee? We'll be right back.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Darwinism, pantheism, utopianism, postmodernism. There are many popular worldviews today. Some are obvious, some are not, but they all whittle away at the Christian faith. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Join me and Issues, Etc. regular guest Craig Parton, Rolf Preuss, George Mather, and Angus Manoogue for a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar June 20th through the 27th at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. The cost is only $229, and this includes the seminar, 7 nights lodging, and all your meals. Now, for more information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June 20th through the 27th in northern Wisconsin, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848, 1-800-577-4848, or check out our website, issuesetc.org, and under the What's New section, you'll find information on this seminar. I hope to see you there. If you'd like to order a cassette copy of this two-hour discussion on Christian ethics in the workplace for a cost of $10, or if you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of our Issues, Etc. journal, or if you'd like to make a donation to Issues, Etc., call our automated resource line 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Or you can always write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Jim, before we go on to another subject here, we did have the listener who wrote us and said, look, I know I have a responsibility, we might even say kind of a fourth commandment responsibility, to honor and serve my employer, but also those for whom I am responsible as well, but I'm finding an ethical dilemma therein. How would you counsel this listener?
And this is the same listener who was talking about some of the termination directives?
Yes, that's the one.
You know, I think that we do have an obligation, if we are a subordinate, a manager reporting to management, to raise these questions of right or wrong. We're part of that management team, and we can begin to change the culture in our workplace. The entire workplace culture is not just dictated by the person at the top, but it's made up of all the managers, subordinate people. And we can begin to raise these questions if we think consistently there are some arbitrary, capricious decisions being made about terminations and personnel things. We can begin to raise these questions and try to change that culture, confront that person, and help that owner, that manager, begin to change his or her ways. And I think if it's done tactfully, these can be received well. And we can begin to make an impact on what's happening there. So I don't think we just remain silent in the face of that, complying with our employer's directive.
Pastor Lacus, you raised this earlier off the air, and I think we would be remiss if we did not visit the issue from this angle. And that is, sometimes there is an honest, a Christian, honest businessman who is conducting his business. He's the employer, the owner perhaps, and he's conducting his business as above board as he can possibly do, but his employees are not honest. Perhaps they're even stealing him blind. How do we deal with this situation? It's kind of the flip side of what we've been focusing on here.
It may be the flip side, but the same principles apply of serving, first of all, our God, who has created and redeemed us, and then seeking the best for our fellow man. And quite often that best for our fellow man includes correction, instruction, and setting things right. So it would be the duty of the employer to call upon the ones who are offending against what is right, what is just, what is ethical. But I'm glad that this question is raised, because we don't want the emphasis just to be on the top management. It's quite often the people in the lowest echelon, so to speak, that can violate Christian ethics.
Ray, I think about myself in this respect, because I am an employee primarily. I work for a whole level of people. And I wonder, am I being dishonest in my dealings, not in the ways of like shuffling money from one account to another, but the fact that I steal time from my employer when I am not doing my job in the workplace, but rather, say, fooling around on the computer or taking care of personal business on company time. Is that just as big a concern as the guy who runs Enron and cooks his books?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, this question of the stealing of time by employees has become a very, very major issue in businesses everywhere. And a lot of this kind of develops from a peer culture. Jim's been talking about the culture of an organization. Well, many peers think that it's okay. And sometimes Christian workers get caught up in it. Well, if everybody else is doing it, then it must be okay. Well, that's a rationalization. I think here is where the Christian worker has got to determine that he's not going to go along with it, that he's not going to steal time, that he's going to meet his obligations. And oftentimes that kind of example can bring other people along so that they meet their obligations properly.
I'm remembering, and I'd like the reaction of all three of you to this as a way of wrapping up our conversation. I'm remembering a scene from a very famous movie that came out about 10, 15 years ago called Wall Street. It is a scene where a CEO is making a speech in front of the shareholders of his publicly traded company. This is a dishonest man. This is a man who buys companies and cuts them up into little pieces and then sells off the scrap. And he is making this soliloquy. At the heart of his speech is the phrase, and it's the one, of course, that's always quoted, "Greed is good." And he makes the case that, look, everyone's benefiting from the fact that we operate on the principle of greed. And yet Scripture very clearly says that greed is a vice and a sin. Starting with you, Pastor Lacus, and working our way around the table, concluding here with Jim, how would you respond to someone who says, that's the way business works? Greed is good, and it's what makes the business world go round.
Well, I believe it was H.L. Mencken who said that time is the great equalizer of morals. In other words, if we accept that and continue to accept it and approve it by our actions and so on, greed is no longer bad. It has then become good, but we are judging by the wrong ethical standards, and it is sinful regardless of what kind of profit it brings in.
Raymond, your response to that. How would you respond to someone, greed is good, that's what makes the business world go round?
Well, of course, in a capitalist or free enterprise system, there is a certain amount of greed that is inherent in the system. I prefer to use the term self-interest. In other words, that companies, individuals are trying to achieve something for themselves. Where greed takes over, it's usually accompanied by practices that are destructive to the interest of other people, and that there is a culture which says improve the bottom line without any concern about what this means to the interest of other people. And that, of course, is terribly wrong.
Jim Truesdale, you get the last word. How would you respond to the adage that seems to, for a time at least, prevailed in the business world that greed is good?
When people's primary motivator is greed, their primary motivator is self-interest, then they are not looking out for the common good. And I think that what is missing in our business world, in our society, in our educational systems, is a concern for the common good. It can be consistent with our business system. It can be consistent with our duties as workers, as employers. But we all have to have some concern for the common good of our society, and greed as a prime motivator is inconsistent with that.
Jim Truesdale, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Jim Truesdell is president of the Brower Supply Company, based here in St. Louis, and president of the North American Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioner Wholesalers Association. Pastor Phil Lacus, thank you for being our guest on Issues Etc. Pastor Lacus formerly served as the editor of Portals of Prayer and the director of the Commission on Organizations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And Raymond Hilgert, thank you as well for joining in our roundtable. Raymond Hilgert is Professor Emeritus of the Olin School of Business at Washington University here in St. Louis. Don't get the wrong idea here, folks, that somehow business can be done in an entirely clean manner. It can't. A few more thoughts on that in just a minute. Let me remind you one more time about our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's authored by the three men we've been speaking to about Christian ethics in the workplace. It's called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. You can order it weekdays during regular business hours by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. You can also order it online any time of day or night, of course, at our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace. It does make a great Father's Day gift. We live in a fallen world, and that means wherever we go, be it family, business, to the park, we are going to find fallen people. Sin will be a reality. You can run the cleanest business in the world. You can be above board and honest in all of your dealings with your employer, your employees. You can punch the clock when the clock says punch it. You can leave and never steal a pencil eraser from your employee. Now, I will commend you for being an honest businessman, but it will not avail you before God. God does not promise you economic prosperity or a better bottom line if you're a Christian businessman and live by Christian ethics in the workplace. The only reason God blesses us, be it in business or in our lives, the only reason that we know God's good purpose for us, in spite of the fact that we struggle with ethical dilemmas that seem insoluble from one end of our lives to the other, and especially in our workplace, the only solution that God has given for our sin is found in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is that crucified and risen Savior that we carry into the workplace as children of God. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.